everyone. This is another in our series of interviews with the 2018 winners of the Dr. Jacob Bolotin Award. And today I am speaking with
Carol Begay Green.
Hi, Carol. How are you today?
I'm good. How about you?
Doing well. So congratulations on winning a 2018 Dr. Jacob Bolotin Award.
Thank you. I'm very excited.
So tell us a little bit, for folks who don't know, what your project is that was submitted and for which you won this award.
Well, thank you. I developed a Navajo Braille code back in 2015. I had attended a Getting in Touch with Literacy conference in Rhode Island, and I had asked Judith Dixon, who leads up the National Library Service for the Blind. And at the time, Frances Mary DeAndrea was the president of the Braille Authority of North America. And I had asked them during the poster session if they had heard of a Navajo Braille code, because as my vision continued to decline, I couldn't read Navajo anymore and continued to learn. And they said they hadn't known of one. So in 2015, I decided to look into it, and Frances Mary DeAndrea had contacted me with Dr. Robert Engelbertson from Rice University, who is also a Braille user and a linguistics professor. And we consulted over the summer. First, they asked that we outreach to the field to find out if anyone out there was perhaps using a code, but never formalized it. And we didn't find anyone who'd been using one. So we developed the code, we consulted over it together. And then in September of 2015, I went to the Navajo Nation Board of Diné Education, and I presented the code to them there. And I even read a passage to them in Braille in Navajo. And in October, at their next board meeting, they approved it. So I didn't find that out, though, until May. And then I started that year. I started the following year in 2016. And since then, I've been trying to share the code. So I've gone to the AER conference in Yuma, Arizona, and I presented to teachers of the blind and visually impaired who work on the Navajo Nation. And in Arizona, the code. And then I've also presented at a poster presentation with the New Mexico AER and a poster presentation for the National Federation of the Blind Convention in New Mexico. And this year, I was able to speak at the NFB convention in New Mexico on the Navajo Braille code. So after developing it now, I decided that I would like to put my muscle where my mouth is, I guess you could say. And I'm trying to promote it in the field, but I also feel that it's important to teach the students who may be able to directly benefit from its use, as well as community members. So I've developed a plan to teach the Navajo Nation to teach the Navajo Braille code across the Navajo Nation. And I've outreached to some of the teachers of the blind and out in the area. And there are some students out there. There's probably less than 10. I have some where I teach in the community I teach. I am going to open it up to Navajo and non-Navajo students who live in the region. So if they're not Navajo, but they're interested, but they are a Braille user and they're interested in learning, then I will teach them. So that was what I had written the proposal for. And then my plan is to go to their homes and teach the Braille code for probably about 4 lessons. So I'll probably be in the community for about 4 days in each area. And then hopefully we'll be able to go on a field trip. So we'll see what kind of I might have to redesign the program a little bit, but we'll hopefully be able to develop something that would be meaningful to the students and their families.
I think that sounds excellent. And when you say, so you said there are probably less than 10 students in the Navajo Nation that read Braille?
Well, that's the data so far that I've gotten from the TVIs in the region. There is another TVI, but he wasn't really solid on numbers for me. He covered two other towns, but he really wouldn't give me like how many he had.
Sure.
Anyway, but and I teach in Farmington, New Mexico. I have one here that I see regularly, but there's another one that lives here but is attending the state school, but she'd be home during the summer.
Okay.
I also opened it from 3 to 21, from 3 years to 21, because in our field, you know, we do teach students who are still enrolled in school,
right,
you know, but they're older than 18. So I left it open for that possibility. So even if they've graduated, but they still want to participate and learn, you know, I'm going to open that up to them so that they can have that opportunity if they choose to participate. And I'm hoping that I'll be able to incorporate other skills that their teachers may hope for them to practice. If they need any technology skills, you know, we could probably work on a little bit of that. It really depends on how many participants I have. And I might have to kind of rethink the program a little bit based on the budget and depending on what kind of budget we end up with. So
certainly. That makes good sense. So how complicated was it to create a Navajo language Braille code? Because I'm guessing that it's not, you don't use the alphabet, the English alphabet to write Navajo. Is that correct?
No, so Navajo historically was not a written language.
Mm-hmm.
It actually started to become written, interestingly enough, from two sources. One was the traders that work across the Navajo Nation who worked with Navajos. They started developing a way of making words.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the Navajo code talkers started to develop an alphabet to use because they had to be able to teach each other the code when they were training to become a code talker.
Can you just briefly, it's a fascinating piece of history to me, just briefly describe what the Navajo code talkers were.
During the Second World War, the United States government was trying to figure out a way to convey messages on the battlefield between their operations using code. They always used different types of code throughout history. And they had decided to employ Native Americans and they had Navajos using the Navajo language. But it wasn't just that they were speaking Navajo. Like, they wouldn't just get on the radio and say something in Navajo that was really obvious to what the other person was saying. They still had a code within the language.
Right, because so that if a Navajo soldier who was not a code talker got captured, he couldn't, he
didn't know what they were talking about.
Right,
like, to
exactly.
Him, it just sounded like a bunch of gibberish. You know, they're
right,
just
right.
Talking
even
about
it was in Navajo.
Ants,
yeah.
And turtles,
right.
And
right.
They're talking about sheep, and I don't know what they're talking about. It doesn't make any sense to me. So that's what the Navajo code talkers were. They were classified, but they did all receive those who served, either they or a member of their family, if they had passed on, had received a Congressional Medal of Honor from President Bush, I think in 2000 or 2001.
Well, it's a great story, and not enough people know about it. So that's part of how the alphabet developed, but it's not.
It's kind of a combination of different factors. So now there's a formalized alphabet system. So with that, I do just use the regular Braille alphabet. It's uncontracted, just like what we do with other foreign languages when we're learning them in the United States. There's a high tone and a low tone, and then there's a nasal tone in Navajo. So there's no O, there's only A, E, I, and O. I mean, there's no U, excuse me.
Right, gotcha.
We only have A, E, I, and O, and there's no U. So the high tone A, E, I, and O are accented just like the Spanish vowels are.
Mm-hmm.
So what Dr. Engelbertson suggested is that we use positive transference. So what he means by that is we're in the Southwest. Other people here probably already learned Spanish. So we're just going to use the accented vowels from Spanish in Navajo.
Makes sense.
You just have to learn that they may not make the same sounds as the Spanish. The rules are different based on the class you're taking, but they look the same as the ones in print. So why not just use the same ones? And then we have nasalized tones, which have like a hook under each vowel. So we decided to use a nasal letter indicator. So dots 4-6 indicate that the vowel is a nasal tone. And sometimes they're high tone and nasal. So then you would have it in front of those vowels. So that's what I developed for the vowel code. And then the only other difference is there are some letters that are missing that we don't use in Navajo. And then there's a slash L that makes like a sound, and that I decided just to go ahead and use the TH contraction for that. So 1, 4, 5, 6 is the slash L sound. And then we have glottal stops, and they look like an apostrophe. And so we're using dot three, we're using the apostrophe for that. There isn't any other reason to use an apostrophe in Navajo. They don't write possessives the way we do in English,
right?
And they don't contract vowels like we do in English. So it makes sense to use the apostrophe because that's what it looks like.
Okay, so. Makes sense. Very, very clever. And I didn't prepare you for this. So if you don't want to do it, I will understand. But okay. Can you just say something in Navajo for our listeners, possibly?
Oh, sure. Yad e she'e ya, Carol begay, green yinishya, Irish nishna, ho hitlini bashishin, she'e e ya, besh bitch ahi ado, bit ahni that shimala. So, I just introduced myself to you in Navajo, and that's what we do among all of that's our tradition, is whenever we in a public place, we introduce ourselves by our clans so that other people know who we are.
All right. Terrific. Thank you so much for participating in our interview, and congratulations again on your award, and what a fantastic project.
Well, thank you.